I'd like to extend warm greetings to any and all listening to this presentation, wherever you are, whatever time it is. My name is Rob Christie. I've been involved in what's loosely called the personal growth and transformation industry for decades. And I have the privilege this morning to be talking once again with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. Met a lot of people and along the way in my journey. And Jim Hamilton's near the top of my list because he's come up with an array of technologies which have proven to be useful to people who are seriously interested in making positive change in their lives. We'd like to share with you this morning one aspect of this. It's called The Map of Consciousness and was written by Dr. David Hawkins. You hear a lot in the New Age and elsewhere about energy. You know, everything's energy. There's Einstein's equation, E equals MC squared. But a lot of those statements seem to be made in generalities, whereas the map of consciousness gives a definite scale in what happens at each position along the way and what the implications are for all of us. So, Jim, take it away.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or whatever it is, wherever you are. Rob and I are on the same time zone. So here I am starting an hour earlier. We do our stuff on our meetings on Wednesday mornings. And so anyway, the map of consciousness is a really powerful idea. And it did come from Dr. David Hawkins. And it came out of his first of the latest series of books, or the series of books that began with Power Versus Force. And just for as kind of an aside, I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times. I started it in April of 2000. It was first introduced in February of 2005. And I think it was when I was still writing Visionaries Thrive in All Times that I used to talk to Dr. Hawkins by fax machine. We used to go back and forth. And one of the things I was willing to do, I said, hey, you know, I'm down here in Scottsdale at that particular time. I run people up, happy to move books, because I think Power Versus Force came out in 1997. I should probably be sure about that. But anyway, he and I, we had a bit of a relationship, and I visited his house Christmas one year, and Dr. David Hawkins was first off a psychiatrist. He co-authored a book titled Orthomolecular Nutrition with Linus Pauling. And of course, Linus Pauling is famous for vitamin C. And so what Dr. David Hawkins did was he introduced, of all things, nutrition to psychiatry. And that's one of the things that he stands out for, in addition to the fact that he had, as I understand it, 700 psychiatrists under him in New York, because he ran the psychiatric department at two different hospitals. And so he had a lot of influence. He was knighted by the Koreans for consciousness work in the 60s, as I understand it. I did have, the pleasure of meeting him a number of times in kind of non-traditional settings. In other words, not at his events, even though I did show up some of his events. But one of my favorite, I say favorite short stories, what's curious is I did a reading with him once, and back when it was recorded on a cassette, and basically he told me to get a job. So I can't say it was much help. But so anyway, Dr. David Hawkins wrote Power Versus Force. And of course, Power Versus Force means power is what we have in our connection with Source. And force, you might think of the United States government, just for an analogy. You know, forcing your way through things. Power is very different. Power can be very subtle. In fact, power is very subtle. And this was the distinction Dr. Hawkins was making when he wrote Power versus Force. I'll also add that Dr. David Hawkins came out of retirement. He moved to Sedona from Long Island or wherever he was in New York and built a home in Sedona and came out of retirement when he discovered kinesiology. And it was through kinesiology, which is muscle testing and it's not so different from dowsing, that he came to write to ba basically, what would the term be? Explore the universe through dowsing. And in this exploration, wrote Power versus Force and a number of other books that are all part of a series. There might be six or seven of them, I don't know. And so the Map of Consciousness was initially published as part of Power versus Force. And most of us all used it in the same way. It just showed gradients of and I'll put the map up in this the video version, and otherwise you can access the map at coreresonance.com/ map of consciousness with hyphens hyphen two. So coreresonance.com map forward slash map hyphen of hyphen consciousness hyphen two, and that take you to a good page on my website about the map of consciousness. Anyway, we all used it, and it wasn't till really years later that I saw the map as a gradient of resistance versus allowing. I mean, that's what it says, but what I came to discern is that you moved more and more into allowing. You became more naturally blended with source. And that's how I use the map primarily as an indicator of resistance and rigidity at the lower end of the scale and allowing. And the more you allow, the more you naturally blend with source. And so that's primarily how I use the map. And I find it to be a very interesting tool. And I know you do too, Rob.
Yes. Flesh out for our listeners just a little bit more. One of the primary distinctions you talk about all the time, which is the distinction between resistance and allowing. That's so key in your work.
Yeah, it's a great thought because first off, resistance brings you more of the same, and allowing brings you something new and different in each moment. And what most I say most, so many people don't understand is that resistance is focus, and resistance is focus, often with an emotional component. And we don't realize how powerfully resistance influences our reality creating. Of course, if we were to look at it, we would see that that's so, because in resistance, we can create a real mess of things for ourselves and even others. And what we have to understand is that resistance is focus. Allowing is a very different type of focus, but it's part of our broadcast. And so, a single act of resistance. So resistance is used as a term, more of the idea of being resistant to flow. So you could be part of the resistance in the Ukraine, and you're doing what you need to do. But in some respects, the question is, how did you get into resistance in the first place? That's a whole concept all by itself. But resistance brings us more of the same, because what we focus on expands, and resistance is focus. And allowing is very different. Allowing brings you something new and different in each moment, which is to say, as you move into allowing, you move out of the mind. And as you move out of the mind, more possibilities become available. And it's in allowing that innate intelligence or source or guidance or whatever you want to call it starts to become available. So the more you move up the map, the less you're in your mind. And I might add Mind, time, and resistance are synonymous. So when you're in your mind, by the very nature of being in your mind, there's a component of resistance active. And when you're in your mind, you're in time. But when you move to presence, which is the alternative, then there's no mind, no time, no resistance, and guidance is very available. So, long story short, as you move up the map, you move into more allowing, you move into more access to guidance, more access to source, you become more blended with source. And that's when life starts to get interesting. It's curiously the opposite of resistance.
Let's get into the nuts and bolts of the map, so our listeners get a feel for how it operates, what it can tell us, what occurs at various levels, however you think it would be most useful to flesh that out.
Well, so the map is first off, it was developed by kinesiology. It's an arbitrary scale of 0 to 1,000, with a 0 or above 0 to just under to 175, which is labeled pride. Those are different states or gradients of resistance and overload. So resistance comes from being in overload. And the more in overload you are, the less allowing you're able to be. So the more overload, the more rigidity, the more resistance, the more reactionary, because we don't have the ability to process incoming information because we're shut down. So the lower you are on the scale, the bottom numbers are, there's a couple ways to look at it. Shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, and you're moving up toward desire, toward anger, and even and pride is healthier than anger. On this other version, at the bottom is miserable, evil, hopeless, tragic, frightening, disappointing, antagonistic, demanding, and of course, demanding is higher than antagonistic, and so. There's gradients of resistance, you might say. There's gradients on this lower scale.
Just a quick technical point. So 0 to 175 is the resistant portion of the scale.
That's exactly right. Resistance, rigidity. So in somebody that's in depression, obviously they're in resistance to new ideas, for example, or when they're angry, when they're in that state of anger, they are resistant to new ideas. So these are just gradients or levels of the variations of what overload induces. And let me add that overload, in my opinion, comes from the brain manually processing everything. Because our natural state is we're plugged into guidance, we're plugged into source, and when we're plugged in, so when we move to the higher states of allowing, we become more blended with source. And as we do, things open up. So, when we're out of our natural state of connection with source, out of our natural state of guidance, the brain has to manually process everything. That's how we get an overload in the first place. To add to that, people that are high sensitivity are initially, especially, more inclined to overload because of their high sensitivity. And by the way, high sensitivity, or I should say overload, induces self-medicating. So it's, I think a lot of us, I think I did my fair share of all the different kinds of self-medicating as I was younger, and I tended to outgrow it. And some people have a harder time. But the point is, the lower you are on the map, the more rigid you are, the more overload that shows up as reaction and resistance. And there comes a point on the map at 200 labeled courage, where you somehow, or with the help of others, have the wherewithal to start accepting responsibility for where you are on the map and a willingness to start to grow. And that's all about courage. So courage is the breakpoint on the map at 200, so that the divider and the breakpoint on the map isn't halfway up the map. It's really at, I guess, 20% at 200 if the scale goes all the way to 1,000. So courage is a really powerful component, and it's a precursor to allowing. conscious allowing, and where we start to become more aware of our options. And consciousness is about becoming conscious. So you're stepping away from the swamp, you might say, and even people with their in their discomfort usually often will stay where they are because they don't know what their options are, and they'd rather be where they are than go somewhere they don't know. So courage is a powerful component, and all consciousness has courage at its base, and it's a big part of it.
I want to underscore and maybe get some further feedback from you on the resistance that occurs from 0 to 175. What I'm hearing, Jim, is there is a predilection at those points on the scale to try to figure things out, try to solve problems with the mind, and in working with you and listening to what you have to say, as I understand it, in your opinion, that's a dead end street. You don't have access to what you really need to have access to in order to, quote, solve problems and live a full life. Is that fair?
Well, you know, so I've had lots of access to presence. And when you have access to presence, first off, there's no mind. And of course, no time and no resistance. And mind, time, and resistance are synonymous. But when you're in the lower gradients, you're limited to the mind as a tool. And I can tell you from access to presence that the mind is not that hot of a tool at all. In fact, it's a very poor tool when you try to live your life based on the mind's ability to think and sort and think about the mind projecting. I mean, that's how do you, it's so limited in its possibilities. And so it's all, and even like, let's say, you know, a scientist or this or that, you know, you work on problems, you try to do inventions, but the inventions come to you when you move out of your mind. I think it was Thomas Edison, I think it was, who, or was it Henry Ford, would take a nap with two ball bearings in his hand with pie plates under, and when he'd fall asleep, his hands would relax, the ball bearings would fall out, and they would wake him up, and he would wake up with solutions. And so he learned how to get out of his mind by falling asleep, and it's pretty rudimentary, but when he would wake up, he would wake up with solutions, and he was not in his mind. So in other words, solutions don't come from the mind. They never do. You can say 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay, you want to call that a solution, but a solution is much bigger than a problem. Mind's really good at identifying problems. In fact, you can get people off on a tangent about a problem, and they can go on for hours and get other people infected. And next thing you know, everybody's talking about the problem. And that's really about where the what the mind does. It's limited to a linear perspective. It's limited to, in fact, the mind can't project other than what it already has a reference for. We talked about that last week, with you having experience of allowing, and because we were talking about cannabis and this and that, and it became then part of your itinerary or inventory of possibilities in the mind, because you had an experience out of the mind that referenced that the mind picked up as an idea. And so that's how we grow. We it's intuition. There's all kinds of interesting things that break the pattern of the limits of the mind. And courage is part of that, but the mind's a limited tool, no doubt about it.
Hello, I would like to extend the warmest greetings to everyone listening to this, wherever you may be. I'm Rob Christie. I've been involved for years and trying to get better, trying to be a better version of me. And in that journey, you know, I've had the occasion to meet a lot of practitioners, a lot of teachers, and I am privileged this morning to be with my dear friend Jim Hamilton, who's pretty high up in my estimation with respect to the people offering real time-tested tools for making meaningful change in one's life. In an earlier video recorded today, we began our exploration of The Map of Consciousness, a book written by Dr. David Hawkins, a man that Jim knew and interacted with personally. During that prior video, we covered from 0 to 175 on the scale, which is the part of the scale associated with resistance and trying to use the mind to solve problems. And we discovered that in Jim's work, he doesn't think pretty highly of the mind with respect to living the kind of life you want to live, although it can be used to get you there. So, Jim, let's proceed with an exploration of 200 and beyond. Take it away.
All right. So, Rob, great to be here. As always, we have great conversation, and we get to include everybody that wants to come along with us. So the Map of Consciousness is a really powerful tool. It was first published in Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. I think Power versus Force came out in 1997. I could be really wrong, but I think. Anyway, so what we're talking about is the map. It's a scale of 0 to 1,000. Apathy, fear, grief, anxiety, rage are at the lower end of the scale. The breakpoint on the map is labeled courage, and then you start moving into reason and neutrality and joy and peace and love. And so we were talking just a tiny bit before we broke for a break, you might say, and we were talking about courage. And, you know, most people, they live their lives and they have what they have. And often when they have big changes in their lives, they're often a product of trauma or something serious that happens that really derails their patterns and habits. A loved one, somebody really close passing, or even being fired from a job or this or that. And so people are sometimes a little bit awash for a while, and they're, you would find them a little bit down in the lower levels of the map. And courage is grabbing yourself by the bootstraps and kind of getting back on track. It's just one kind of an idea of courage, because it's not unusual to be comfortable with where you are in your life. You've got everything you need, and some people will risk what they have to have more. And that's kind of the consciousness conversation. Because your priorities change, the things that drive you change, your version of success changes.
And that takes courage, yes?
Yes, it does. You know, the early version of what we're taught is that success is money. Success is stocks and bonds and a Cadillac. I think it's more of a Lexus these days. But, and so there comes a point where you have all of that and you go, is this all there is? And so you've got everything. And while for some people it's no big deal at all to simply add to that, for other people they risk giving up what they have to have more. And maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but I see it a lot when people have certain comforts and they have to forego that certain comfort to have more. And consciousness is about that, because the mind-based version of things has massive limitations, and to be able to step beyond what you know takes courage, and because consciousness is unknown, and it's not just go to school and you become more conscious. It's an inner journey. Everybody knows they're full of debris and wreckage on the inside, and so all of that has to be sorted out. All that takes a little bit of courage, but luckily, more and more of us are doing this. It goes back to the beginning of time, writing about consciousness and accessing God, and whether it's done through the church or philosophers or whatever. And but it's something that we all do at some soon or later date, and courage is the foundation of that. And it's interesting to watch people summon up courage to make new choices. And it's really what makes the world go around, because things do improve and the world does continue to get better. And while on one hand it happens naturally, if you go to the smaller gradients of it, courage is often a component of breaking out of what's been so and what we believe to be so and what we believe ought to be so. And so breaking away is courage, and that's where allowing and the whole thing starts to open up. And even allowing is a lot of unknown, at least initially.
Share with our listeners, I guess you'd call them some of the technical points that occur from 200 on up on the scale, so they get a picture of what that's about.
Well, I don't know if I know how to describe that other than to say that what the map identifies is gradient levels of consciousness, curiously, gradient levels of allowing, because allowing is where consciousness comes from. I think I touched on earlier, in resistance, we create more of the same, and allowing something new and different shows up in each moment. And of course, the more we move into allowing, the more we plug into guidance, you might say. And so the allowing is where the magic is. And so when people move above 200 on the map, the first level is called neutrality, which, see, that takes courage to move to neutrality from control. And from neutrality, you move to willingness. And willingness, you move to acceptance and to reason and to love and to joy and to peace and enlightenment. And it's interesting that this consciousness of allowing can be mapped. I wrote an article titled States of Being as Feeling, and I mapped these gradient levels of consciousness as different feelings. Let's see what the map here. So the heat, there's a column. So, oh, you know what? This map, this particular one, courage is left out. That's curious. It must have not printed because of the color or something. But you move from courage to trust, to optimism, to forgiveness, to understanding, to reverence, to serenity, to bliss. That's more along the lines of what I was documenting. Because as you move up the map, that your state becomes identifiable as how you feel. And the higher you are on the map, the better. When elation is probably my favorite state. Elation, I rebuilt a one an I've never used inkjet printers, and I have a nice one right now, and I took it all the way apart, got down to the print head, and it was all gummed up and it wouldn't print, and took the print head out, which was kind of a project, and used cleaning fluids, and eventually used warm water and a syringe and high purity water, RO water, and managed to get it back together and got it printing again. And I actually learned a lot about inkjet printers. And in the background was a state of elation. It wasn't a big deal, but it took me a half a day to take it apart and the next day to put it back together. And now I can do it much faster. But there's a subtle state of elation in the background. It's kind of a glow. It was kind of a And what I'm saying is, as you move up the map, there's different states of feeling associated, and these states of feeling, They talk about the kingdom of God. I guess that's Christian and maybe not. I don't know. But when you move up these different states, you operate in these different kingdoms of feeling. And in these different gradient, it's like automatically your world turns out better because you're broadcasting from this certain state of feeling. And so the best I can tell you is as you move beyond courage, the quality of your reality creating improves because you move to a higher state, which is to say, a higher level of broadcasting out. And so when I rebuilt my inkjet printer and came to see how many pinholes or how many print heads there are for black and red and yellow and whatever blue, the satisfaction of completing it was a really powerful idea. And again, this gradient level of, so that's the most recent experience I had with elation. Often elation is much more pronounced, but this is just a little burn in the background. And of course, when you're operating at that state, what you're broadcasting out, which is an important part of all of this, because you get to these states and you become that broadcast. You broadcast out as joy. You broadcast out as Dr. Hawkins would say, ineffable. There's no less and less mind produces higher and higher states, and higher states produce higher and higher qualities of reality creating because we become more partnered with source. And so allowing is a big thing, and the map identifies gradient levels of this, and it's I see the term bliss right here. Even gratitude. I have gratitude right now for the conversations that we do. So gratitude. So these are all different states as you move up the map. The farther you move away from resistance, the more you move into gratitude and these higher states of allowing, which again are not mind driven because you're leaving the mind behind, and that's the magic of it all. And journaling is a good idea as you move up the map.
Well, listening to you describe these higher states, Jim, I'm reminded of something Esther Hicks says frequently, that our only job is to feel good. Would you agree with that? And how does that fit into the description you just shared with us?
So that's a great remark. I really like Esther Hicks. I really like Jerry. I was close to those guys. I helped them buy their first. I had a diesel pusher coach and shared information with them when they bought theirs. I used to go to a lot of their seminars when they were 2 day long and whatever. But what Esther really says, and I absolutely agree, but she says when you have a focus or you have a thought, you always want to look to see what the feeling is that's associated with that focus or that thought. And so the feeling is actually the information from the cosmos expressing to you and through you as feeling. So what the mind does is it produces a focus. And by the way, of course, we touched on, resistance is focus, and you'll find the feeling associated with that is really miserable. And so if you can move to a point where you simply feel good all the time, obviously you have moved up the map, and feeling is not associated with the mind. So they're counter to each other. And when you feel, so Esther Abraham is precisely right in that how you feel has a direct relationship to the scorecard, which is the quality of your reality creating. We want more order in our lives, and the better we feel, the better the quality of the order and how things come to pass, because the synchronicities is and the magic of life is really what it's all about. And so moving up the map brings us higher quality reality creating partnered with source. That's really kind of the long story short.
Everybody who's been involved in some aspect of transformation's been introduced to affirmations at some point. And thinking about Esther Hicks, do you think it's true, Jim, that ultimately what we're affirming, what our real affirmation is, that feeling state. Not so much the words that we're saying, but the feeling that is engendered thereby. Am I getting it right?
You know, it's an important concept. I do have a lot of background in affirmations, and one of the first gradient jumps in affirmations is decide how you want to feel and make your affirmations about how you want to feel. I mean, that is a bump up from I want a new red convertible, and why you want a new red convertible actually is how it makes you feel, even if you're not aware of that. But so why not just go for how you want to feel? And of course, when it's kind of mind driven like that, those gradient levels aren't anywhere near as sophisticated as when you really move to the allowing side of the fence. Because as you move out of resistance and out of overload and more partnered with innate intelligence, the feeling of it is incredible. So Abraham and Esther are so very right that how we feel is a huge component, and what we want to do is learn how to drive ourselves toward how we want to feel, which ultimately is an act of letting go. Huh, there's that courage thing again.
You shared with me some fascinating things about what people on the higher levels of the scale are able to do with respect to supporting other people and counterbalancing the energetic effects on the planet and the people personally who are lower down on the scale. Would you comment on that, sir?
Yeah, one of my favorite concepts of the map of consciousness. So Core Resonance uses three major tools: the map of consciousness, the Maharishi effect, and there's a little known article called "Our Invention's Inevitable," written in 1922 by two Columbia University professors, identifying that all the inventions 400, 500 years prior were invented simultaneously by more than one party. And I'll put a little bit of information up on that, so which means about our connection with source. But when we move up the map, the more we become blended with source, which is simply a product of allowing. So consciousness becomes more than a mind-driven version. It takes, you might say, mind to get to courage, and it takes mind to move a little bit past that. But the allowing and neutrality is less and less mind-based. And so once you get up the map toward, I'll use 700 for an example, and 700 is labeled as enlightenment, or it's the beginning states, because it's actually measured. Enlightenment is between 700 and 1,000. And what's interesting is that one person at 700, one person blended with source at around 700 on the map counterbalances a negativity of 70 million people below 200. One person, because this is a logarithmic scale or an exponential scale, one person at 600 counterbalances a negativity of 10 million people below 200. One person at 500 counterbalances a negativity of, I believe, 750,000, and on and on. So the point becomes is that consciousness and advancing consciousness is really the way that we change the world. We bring peace to the world. So it turns out the humans partnering with source, which is our natural state, is how we get ahead. And instead of trying to help everybody, what we really need to do is learn how to bump ourselves up the map so that we can become exponential in our contribution for making the world a better place. And so consciousness is about less resistance, which is to say consciousness is about more blending. The more blended we are with source, the more partnered we are with source, the more we become what I like to say usefully influential. We become a better contributor to the overall whole. And our partnership with source is true success, I might add. And this map of consciousness beautifully displays this whole idea.
If a person, anybody listening, has reached a point in their life where contributing to mankind is either goal number one are pretty high on the scale. They couldn't do better than commit to ascending the map of consciousness.
That's also true for the whales. So the humans have to save themselves. We need to get out from a number of things that are false. We need to go to true success, which is our partnership with Source. We become exponentially contributive. We save ourselves at the same time we save the whales, and we save everything else, because first off, all of nature is already plugged into Source. That overall order that everything shares successfully is found in nature, and the only little ink spot out of order is the human species. I don't know if we got dropped on our head. I don't know. Maybe the church tricked us into buying into letting them do our prayer for us and moved us out of our natural state of connection. We're a manufactured species. I don't know what happened. But our primary function is to enable that natural state of connection with Source, become partnered with it. And in doing so, we save ourselves, save the whales, save the honeybees. What happens is when we become partnered with Source, we become an expression of coherence. The frequency of God and coherence are the same thing. So when we become partnered with Source, innate intelligence expresses through us as coherence, and coherence dissipates distortion. That's actually how it works. So our job is to become a mechanism of no resistance for innate intelligence to express through us with no distortion, for which that new frequency gets grounded, not in the world, but the world of mankind, because that's where the distortion is. And coherence and frequency of God cleans that up, and then the whales have a clean ocean, and on and on.
Hello to everyone listening, wherever you may be, whatever time it may be. My name is Rob Christie. I've been making a serious attempt to improve myself and live a fuller life for decades. And I've had the privilege of meeting and working with a lot of great teachers along the way. And I'm with one of those this morning, my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. What sets Jim apart from many I've known is he has a proven, multifaceted technology that will support anyone who seriously commits to making changes in their life. And I'd like to share and have Jim share with you at least some of the ways that you could work with Jim. You know, after many weekend seminars, I woke up on Monday morning and said, "What do I do now?" Well, we want to answer that question. You know, after you listen to this presentation, what do you do next? So, Jim,
what do you do next, huh? All right. So, what you do next? So, what I've come to learn just recently, you know, it's only dawned on me in maybe the last year, is that what I actually do is I teach people how to access guidance. And of course, my guidance is not a mind-driven experience whatsoever. You can't be in love from the mind. You can be in love with the mind, but you can't be in love from the person. So the mind has to be put aside. And it's when the mind is put aside. And again, I identify mind, time, and resistance as synonymous. So when you put the mind aside, you put resistance aside. And as you put resistance aside, your natural state of connection with Source becomes more enabled. And so what we can do is we can advance that. And the several tools that I'm active with right now. Let's touch on core resonance first for just a minute. Core resonance is what I developed from 2014 to 2022. My second physicist introduced me to neurofeedback. I sold $1 million in neurofeedback based for him based on two ideas. One of which, see if I can remember these. If you want to become more than what you are, you need to partner with something bigger than yourself. And if you want to partner with something bigger than yourself, why not go all the way and partner with Source? Because if you look out into space, all the planets are in order and there's order everywhere. All the atoms in the chair, everything is orderly. And so partnering.
Just so our audience is clear, just quickly give us the synonyms for source.
Actually, it's core you're probably talking about. The synonym. Oh, synonyms for source. Okay, yes. So innate intelligence, God, the frequency of God,
All the
divinity.
same thing.
Yeah, that's right. So God, innate intelligence, source. I don't really use the term universal mind, but there's an order that, so what God really is an order that everything shares. It's a governance that everything abides by, and humans seem to be out of sync with that. So anyway, I sold $1 million worth of neurofeedback based on the idea of partnering with something bigger than yourself as a way of escaping your own limitations. Why not partner with God or Source? And the other one was that your nervous system is your connection with God, with Source, whatever you want to call it. I learned a long time ago as a meditator that when I quiet my mind, listening with my nervous system is what happens. I turn the mind off, and it turns out your nervous system is constantly sensing out, receiving back. You might say it's just like the ear. You sense, you listen, that sensing out, receiving back goes straight into this nodule that's called the brain, ear, eyes. You have this one inch patch pathway. You sense out and you receive back. And that's what we do. And the nervous system as a whole is like a living antenna system for listening. And so
And
what
if
I
I
end
understand it, core resonance can get you there quicker.
we can achieve probably the equivalent of a couple lifetimes of meditation in a short period of time. One lifetime of meditation isn't as big as you think. It's a great beginning point because I have most of a lifetime. I have 50 years background just about end of this year. A 50 years background in meditation. And of course, what it did was it launched other things. Because as you move more, less and less from the mind, you move more and more into allowing, the whole thing opens up. Long story short, what I've learned how to do with core resonance, and the word core stands for CO, stands for coherence, and RE stands for resonance. I thought that's what you were getting at. But what I've learned how to do is to rapidly quiet the nervous system with a type of neurofeedback that I've redesigned and rebuilt the software and the hardware and the whole thing. And we can rapidly quiet the nervous system because we can let the brain discover itself through the hardware software. And as the brain discovers itself, it reorganizes itself. And as the brain reorganizes itself, the brain quiets down. As the overload of the brain quiets down, our natural state of connection with source that's always been there becomes evident and available. And as that connection becomes enabled, the mind will subside to that connection. The mind will relent to that connection. Otherwise, the mind is in charge. Because the brain's on overload, the mind takes on the job of a what's the term I want? Survival. The mind takes on the job of survival. Because the brain's on overload, its ability to take in new incoming information is massively reduced. And try introducing something new to somebody, it's in overload. Try introducing something new to anybody anyway. Everybody's in overload. So what I've learned how to do, and what core resonance is an ability to rapidly quiet the nervous system because we can rapidly quell resistance. Because when we let the brain discover itself through the hardware software, the brain works through all of this overload because it's working toward becoming efficient. Because it can see itself, it reorganizes itself, not so different from defragging a hard drive. So we can quiet the nervous system, the brain being the single biggest and the noisiest part. And in doing so, our natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. And what happens is, and you can see a rapid rise on the map. as you move into using core resins, which is, we're not going to talk about it too much. It's on my website. But the point becomes is that as we quiet the nervous system, that very subtle connection with source, that very subtle connection with God, frequency of God, whatever you want to call it, becomes enabled. And as we relent, as the mind relents to that, as that connection becomes enabled, guidance becomes available, because the more you move out of the mind, the more guidance becomes available. And with core resonance, we can move out of the mind completely, move into a full-blown version of presence, for which guidance becomes a very, very powerful component. And I would tell you that ascension is at the other end of core resonance, because as you truly move out of resistance and overload, become blended with source, it's that blending and that partnering with source that is actually what ascension is all about, where you really can achieve a different kind of identity and move off into the universes as a being powered by source. So that's.
Before we move on to some of your other tools, give us one example of a client who utilized core resonance and had an amazing positive outcome as a result.
You know, there's a testimonial, an old testimonial. It was an attorney in LA, and he was initially, well, you know, like everybody else, something new, you kind of move into it kind of slowly. But what he ended up discovering was that his all his and so he lives in a world that's kind of like this. I'm not saying the guy was unconscious, but law is a very distinct kind of discipline, mental discipline. And usually, you know, and law is based on projections of what law has already established in the courts and this and that. And it's kind of a so lawyers and you know engineers are kind of have a kind of a rigid isn't really the term I want, but just the same, it's kind of a way to describe it. And what he came away with, I forget how many sessions before he had big results, about 40, was a whole new opening in how he viewed the world that became available by learning how to move out of the mind, letting the brain discover itself through the hardware software. The brain quiets down, your intuition jumps, your the magic of life jumps in. I suppose one of the things you could say that happens is what's known as intuition becomes far, far, far more available. And you see, because the mind's no longer really active or running the show anymore, intuition doesn't get second guessed. So intuition's a good example of what guidance looks like. And it's even a wider bandwidth than that. But guidance, when core resonance allows you to move past the mind's version of thing and things open up. I've had so many different kinds of experiences with that myself, and documenting them becomes the game. And but synchronicity, harmony, and order at all new scales of order is what the whole thing's all about. And when you're plugged into guidance, the magic of life and the positive, and also anti-aging, the less resistance in your body, the longer you're going to live. And we all carry hypertension and this and that, and that's a certain kind of rigidity we're not even aware of. And so as you move into allowing, that's what meditation's about. You move into a state of relaxation. As you move into relaxation, more insights and more possibilities become evident. Move out away from rigidity. Farther away from rigidity you go, the better it gets.
Share another tool with us, Jim.
Well, so just recently, I topped out with core resonance middle of 2022. The last article I wrote was States of Feeling, States of Being is Feeling. And I kind of topped out and I decided to go back to my roots. So core resonance was rebranded back to Visionaries Lab. And what I'm offering now is a tool that I developed when I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times. And I've used it myself repeatedly. It's 100 days long, but it's called Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light. So what we're talking about two versions of guidance that I can teach people to have access to. And again, mind and guidance are not synonymous whatsoever, but core resonance is a more technical program. It has some expense to it. It's generally designed to be shared and owned by six people, and it's called a colony. There's so much we should talk about core resonance in a another time. But it's interesting that we all carry our minds around with us. And while our mind is probably more of a lot of us would like to get rid of it, but what we really want to do is learn how to manage our mind. It's actually the first component of becoming conscious, is having dominion over your mind, because you're not your mind, you're not your body, and you're not your brain. You're actually awareness. And so when we come to realize that the mind is a tool, it runs on its own, but that's because it's not being managed. And so as we learn how to manage the mind, we start to have dominion over the mind, which means we start to have dominion over what the mind broadcasts. Because the mind goes off on all kinds of tangents, and it'll pick up somebody else's conversation, repeat it. Next thing you know, you've got a whole chain of negative conversations about somebody's complaint about something that reminded somebody else about something that happened to them, and on and on. And the point becomes, again, we carry the mind, it's with us all the time. And we can learn how to feed it in a certain manner so that we can change the quality of its broadcast. Because the mind is where our broadcast comes from. It's where, when we talk about focus, when we focus, usually focus is associated with the mind or the patterns and habits of the mind. And so as we learn to have dominion over the mind, the program called Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light, what we do is we saturate the mind with a certain type of an affirmation, which happens to be not so much about how we want to feel, but it's about our connection with source. So now we're bumping affirmations up a gradient level from red convertible to how I want to feel, to enabling our natural state of connection with source. So that's a and so what we do with Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light is we saturate the mind with a certain type of affirmation. We influence the broadcast or the output, or what you might call our prayer, because whatever comes out of us, in my opinion, is our prayer, because whatever comes out of us is what we're saying to God. Long story short, that's worthy of diving into a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, whatever comes out of us, the only place it's heard besides your neighbor sitting next to you is God. And so God, as a type of governance, what we feed this is what we get back. And so with Soaring Affirmations, we can saturate the mind with a certain type of affirmation. We can clean up the broadcast, what we broadcast. And in doing so, we can enable our natural state of connection with source. The shortcoming being that our connection with source is enabled through the mind. And though we've cleaned up the mind and cleaned up the broadcast and the output, it's still a mind-based technology, and that's why we call it guidance light. Real guidance is no mind. The next best thing is cleaning the mind up at all new gradient levels by saturating it with a certain type of thinking, for which the quality of the broadcast that goes to the cosmos becomes really, really clear. And so prosperity and abundance and synchronicity, harmony and order and all kinds of magic becomes available once we learn how to manage the mind and manage its outgoing broadcast. It's one of the things I'm offering right now. It's interesting stuff. I do it every 3 years, actually.
So what I'm hearing with respect to this program is there's a progression. You start the client using, in a disciplined fashion, a series of affirmations which have been proven to be effective, and that begins to open up other more advanced possibilities.
So let's look at that two ways. One, affirmations and having dominion over the mind is the beginning of consciousness, for which Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light is a specific tool. And from what, once you've achieved this success of that, which is truthfully massive, but you do have to keep feeding the mind in the long run. It's kind of like putting gas in your car. But then you can graduate to Core Resonance, which is really a more sophisticated tool, much more sophisticated. Like I said, I believe Ascension is potentially at the end of what Core Resonance is capable of. But think about it this way. Original affirmation is, I want a new red car, or I want something like that. And then the next level is how you want to feel, because that's a significant improvement as an affirmation. I want to be happy. And then the next gradient on that is, my connection with source is my most important thing. And so there's another level beyond that. I call it soaring affirmations, where you take this connection with source, and in building that, you learn how to allow guidance. So what you do is, the Soaring Affirmations program, it's a written program, and we use some old affirmations about success and prosperity that are proven just over the years. I don't know if they're 60 years old. I don't know how. And so we start with those. And then when we're doing this written program, we meditate after we do the written part of these original affirmations. And when we come out of meditation, we kind of take the meditation and we rewrite the affirmation for which it now has no limits. So I guess you might say, I use the affirmation at 60 years old for a reason. It's a very strong foundation for teaching the mind. But after a meditation, the insight of the meditation becomes a soaring version of the affirmation. And it's astounding how much improved what we broadcast out becomes, because that's the game. You see, when you're mind-based, what we want to do is significantly increase the quality of what we broadcast. So you go from red convertibles to how you want to feel, to your connection with source, to soaring affirmations. And the Soaring Affirmations program is very, very, very powerful. And it's astounding what comes out of us when we set ourselves up to learn how to let go with the mind in a proper manner. And that's what this program's about. And I originally did it in 2004, 2005 when I developed it. I did it again in 2008. I did it again in 2011 and then 2016. And I did it in 2022. And all of the advancements, that all the work I've done, has come from this program. And so the mind is, you know, can be used really effectively, but we need to saturate it with a certain type of new thinking, so that the quality of our broadcast improves, so that the interaction with source becomes better enabled. And I recommend that you document what you discover as you go along.
Speaking to our listeners for a moment, over the years, I'm embarrassed to say, on more than one occasion, I read a good book, I went to a good seminar, I said I was going to make some changes, and I didn't follow up. If you've resonated with anything you have heard today, at the conclusion of the tape, I would strongly encourage you to go to Jim's website, explore whichever of these two programs you resonate with the most, and get in touch with Jim and take the next step.
Now, let me say that the website is coreresonance.com/soaring-affirmations. That would take you to that program. Our human beings need to move to our next gradient level of stepping into our power. And stepping into your power is not about how much money you have in the bank, even though money has certain characteristics of achieving things or speeding up things. But you don't want to be spending money from a mind-based version. You need to be moving to guidance, where that money now becomes valuable because you can use it in a manner at a nodal point where changing things in the right manner because you have some cash to cause something to happen becomes really valuable. The humans need to learn to step into their power. They do it by learning how to partner with source. It's an inner job, it's an introspective experience. I have tools for that. Lots of people have tools for that. Bumping up the map of consciousness is the biggest game in town. I'd be happy to talk with anybody about it. In fact, go to my website, coreresonance.com/contact, and you can do a 20-minute Zoom conversation with me. It takes, this calendar for setting that up. I'd be happy to talk with anybody. Anybody interested in what we're doing, anybody that wants self-improvement for themselves, anybody that wants to save the whales, anybody that wants peace on earth, anybody that wants clean water for all, anybody that wants to see a coherent planet. I'd like to see us become coherent as a species before we, so we don't, instead of dropping trash on Mars and whatever else we do, we need to become coherent. We need to be partnered with the frequency of God and step into our next bout of power and truly become successful as a species and individually.